Okay, I'm talking about fruits of the Spirit, which I started last week, you know, and this is part two. You know, as I talked about last week, this summer, I talked some about the gifts of the Spirit, which I think are very important. Dare I say, in my point of view, these are so much more important. You know, I read today, I used to, forgive me, I'm not dropping names because it's in the news, Robert Morris, the pastor of Gateway Church in Texas, that wrote The Blessed Life, now that, you know, there's sin that comes out in his life, and the church is decimated. And if you go back in the last 24 months, look at how many powerful names that we see that have fallen due to sin. A, we need accountability. You need somebody in your life who you're accountable to, and when I say that, realize it's always a step up. I'm not talking about a peer. I'm talking about somebody that has some kind of authority in your life that can hold you accountable. But we need to give ourselves fully. One of the things that I grieve over in the church is, you know, we put our foot in the water with Jesus, but we don't go any deeper. And he goes, man, I want you to jump off that cliff. I want you to dive right in and trust me. So Galatians 5, fruits of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such thing there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Lord, we see this list, and I think our natural reaction for many of us is, yeah, right. Because we see where we fall short. I think we have to read this list and be encouraged that you are saying, come on up higher. And I can't get there on my own. I need your Holy Spirit. I need to completely empty myself and to trust you and say, Jesus, I want to live this way. You get discredited in this world so much, Lord, by Christians that fall into sin. Not that any of us are perfect, because they're not held accountable and they haven't fully surrendered. Lord, I'm thinking between 10 o'clock and about 11:15 on a Sunday morning, we got a bunch of perfect Christians at New Covenant Community Church, myself included. I remember the times, Lord, when before I started riding separately, I'd drive home with my wife and she'd say, what'd you preach on today? Because I fell short. So Lord, let's be encouraged today. See, man, I want to live this way because I want to be a testimony for Jesus Christ. So touch us and bless us today. In your name, amen. And I got to tell you, I love me some Chick-fil-A. I remember when my daughter was down south, I said, I am not going to some restaurant called Chick-fil-A. I don't understand this. Well, let me tell you, then my other daughter, she lives in Maryland, and they had one before we did. Oh, they got this Chick-fil-A sauce. And you can dip anything in it. Your chicken sandwich, your wife's chicken sandwich when she's not looking, your milkshake, your waffle fries. Life is good. And now they sell it in the store. Help me, Lord. If you want to experience the Chick-fil-A experience in the right way, you gotta grab the sauce. When I have it at home, if I don't open the container, I don't enjoy it. I keep it contained. And I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. We keep life to ourselves and we keep everything contained. Now, I'm going to talk about a different kind of special ingredient. I don't know what's in Chick-fil-A. And, you know, you can go online and say, oh, here's the really secret sauce. Go ahead and make it. It's not the same. I don't care if it's Rudy's hot sauce. I don't care what it is. It's not the same. The thing is, we need to live lives that strive to be led by the Holy Spirit. If I was going to write your eulogy or your obituary, or mine, does Dick Beaumont have love, joy, peace, patience, yeah, kindness, goodness, etc., etc., etc.? But I need to strive to do that. One of the lies of the enemy that has crept into the church is we've distorted the truth. God, I don't know how many people here, each one of you has a different personality. But you can't cling to it and say, God made me this way. Because I guarantee if you're breathing, God wants to change you. Because every day that I live, I'm supposed to be more and more like Jesus Christ. If I want to grow in the gifts of the Spirit, if I want to exhibit the fruit of the Spirit, I need to tap into God's secret sauce, which a secret ingredient, which is the Holy Spirit. We need to stay on point being guided by the Holy Spirit. First point I want to make. We need to grow fruit God's way. You know, there are a lot of, like I said, counterfeits out there. You can get fake church. It's kind of like, you know, I don't mind going to Aldi's, and this is, I'm not bashing Aldi's. I love Triscuits. I can go to Aldi's, and I can buy their fake Wheat Thins, and they're good. You buy their fake Triscuits, and it tastes like somebody crumpled up my sermon notes and took a bite out of it. If you like them, God bless you. There's a deliverance service afterward. So some of the fake stuff is good. Some isn't. That's all I'm going to say. Our old nature counterfeits some of the fruits of the Spirit. Can you have peace in this world without Jesus Christ? To a degree. I had a lot of peace when I was high. I didn't care about anything. But then when I came down, I wasn't high, happy anymore. I can have joy. Syracuse won yesterday. We're 1-0, baby. Tell me, that's not joyful. But it doesn't last. I am a sportsaholic, not as much as I used to be because my dad coached college sports. My brother was a sports editor. I can't even tell you who won the World Series last year. Now I just remembered it's Texas. But so what used to be so important to me isn't as much anymore. You see, we need to allow the Holy Spirit to move in us, and our lives will produce the fruit. But we have to strive and make the effort. You know, fruit grows in my daughter lives in Maryland. She lives in this, I don't know if it's a cul-de-sac or what. We used to go for a walk, and behind this house, there's this huge plastic tent. It had a palm tree in it. Some people have way too much money. This palm tree in the winter, they would pipe in the warm air and they would feed. I'm thinking, I want that much money where I can waste. I mean, you can't grow a palm tree in Maryland without a plastic tent. You can't grow one in Oswego. But you need the right climate to grow the Holy Spirit. That's not the right climate. The right climate is read your Bible, pray, have fellowship. God doesn't do lone rangers. You do not grow the way God wants you to if you're by yourself. That's not what God wants. God wants you to worship Him. Me and Jay, who's Courtney's dad, we're great worship leaders. When we're in the car alone. But I still worship me some Jesus. I think He can bear with it. I have to give myself over to, you know, if you go in my car right now, you're going to see the Harvest CD, which is 50 years old by Neil Young. But I don't play that too much. I play the stuff that feeds my soul. Plus, I love Neil, but he is depressing as all get out. So if I want to be lifted up, I don't open up that CD. But one of the things I've learned as a Christian, You have to be open to correction, and you have to be open to being pruned. If God is leaving you alone, oh, you better be praying because something's wrong. You see, when I go on my own path, God, after a while, goes, okay, you're on your own. But when I'm seeking after God and I'm messing up, and I can do that frequently, God corrects me. God prunes me, goes, yeah, I don't want that part of your life. Snap. It's not fun. But I want to say the words that Paul says. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer me who lives, but Christ lives in me. What false teaching has entered the church is you can compromise. We need to look like the world so they can relate to us. I would say no. Yes, Paul says, be all things to all people so that you may win some, so I don't get bothered by the world, but I'm not going to sit down and have a bottle of whiskey or a joint with them so they think I fit in with them. I'm not going to do this. If I'm in a group of guys and they're telling off-color jokes, I'm out the door. Well, why'd you leave? Let me tell you about Jesus. He wouldn't want me to listen to that. You know, there's commercials out there that you see, Jesus, he gets us. You ever see those commercials? I think it's okay. Where does it fall short? He gets us all right. We're sinners, and we need him for salvation. Yes, he loves the prostitute. Yes, he loves people in all kinds of sin, but he's a righteous God who judges sin. That the message they send to those commercials, in my opinion, is he gets us, everybody's included. And that's the wrong message. If you're living a life of sin, if you're not striving to be who God has called you to be, you're in trouble. I love John the Baptist. I must decrease, he must increase. Look around, older people, anybody over the age of 45, we have a bunch of younger people. The future is not about us. As I said before, worship music, oh, I want it to put us on edge. But I don't like that song. Then go home and listen to it. You're already saved. I love the Jesus Revolution. I remember coming to gospel outreach in the early 80s. I remember this guy preaching. He had, what do you call those farmer jeans? Coveralls? Is that what you call them? Bib overalls. I'm thinking, this is my kind of place. But we can't stay there. We can't stay singing the same songs. We can't do the things we did in the 70s. Guess what? That was 50 years ago. We have a school, 3-year community Christian school. It has been rocked the last month since we hired this younger principal. Young people have energy. I was telling somebody today, my wife used to work in the State Tower building in downtown Syracuse, and I was in college here, so I take a bus to see her, and I got time to kill, so I'm walking up the whole 19 floors to see her. Now, if I made 19 steps, I'd have to sit down and grab oxygen because I'm older. So at the school, these things happen. I am uncomfortable with some of these changes. Why? It's not the Beaumont way. Why isn't it? Hey, Beaumont, yeah? You must decrease. I must increase. When I think too much of myself, I got a loving God who puts me in my place. Why? He wants me to reflect Jesus, not me. It's not about us. You know, a few years ago, I did a series on unity and change. Why is change coming? Why did I preach on that? Change is coming. God's going to give us different people, do things different ways, and it doesn't mean it's wrong. So I want to be the person that said, you must increase, Lord. I must decrease. Peace. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. This is holy optimism. I remember years ago, I was laid off, Melody was laid off. We lived in an apartment that had a hill, and one day I said, oh, we have company. No, I forgot to put the emergency brake on my standard car as it rolled into my landlord's garage, and we had to fix that. And then my daughter almost died, and we're $4,000 in debt because she was in the hospital, all this fun stuff, got healed her, praise God. But life stunk. But you know what we had? We have a knowing that somehow the living God was going to walk us through this and was going to be okay. But Pastor, you don't know my situation. I don't. But God does. You see, the storm might be swamping the boat, but Jesus is sleeping, not because he's uncaring, but because he's in control. So if we do things his way, it's good. If you have chaos, if you have unrest or turmoil, it can make anybody feel like you're going mad. But you got to trust in God, even with the clicker. Thank you. Beth Moore says, peace means the absence of fear and turmoil. Can I hear an amen? Can I hear a louder one? Okay, not the absence of pain and grief. We can be filled with sadness and still possess a wonderful sense of God's peace. Perhaps it is at that moment beyond all others when the peace of God transcends all understanding. Isaiah 26, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. I remember years ago when I first started pastoring here, a friend of mine, Pete Arsenault, his wife Gladys had cancer. So she's in the ICU up at upstate, and I'm sitting down to talk to her, and she's saying, you know what, Dick, I'm tired of fighting. So I said, well, who are you fighting for? I said, oh, my family. I said, what is God telling you to do? Let go. Let go. Let go. Let go. Get a call about a week later from your husband. Hey, they gave Gladys 2 more days to live. So we jump in the car. We go to upstate. I'm sorry. What do you say to people like that? We go in the room. She's smiling ear to ear. And she says to us, I'm going to meet my Savior. Over the night, another pastor, she used to be a part of their church, came, and she's praying for people. The people that came to pray for this woman, she's praying for them because she had a peace of God. Now, God has a sense of humor. She lived 7 more weeks, but the fact is the people she ministered to, because she knew this isn't the end, this is the beginning of my eternity. That is God's peace. Jesus says, in this world, you're going to have hardship. If you're breathing, you will have hardship. I wish I could wave a wand and you would all be in a bubble, but that's not life. But God says to us, he wants us to trust him. He wants us to know, you know what? I know life is hard, but we have to look at the eternal. We have to have the peace of God. And guess what? I am preaching to myself. I am an impulsive person. I am a reactionary person. When something goes wrong, I will freak out, but then I'll calm down. Because I know my God's in control. And I don't understand why he does what he does. And I get frustrated at times. I don't think I've ever been mad at God, because I know ultimately he knows more than I do. Amen. Hallelujah. And I trust him. The next point I want to make, Lord, give me patience and give it to me now. I enjoy watching baseball games. Yesterday, football, baseball. Guess what? I'm watching baseball. You must be boring. Don't you know me by now? But anyways, you know what I like? I want hitters that can wait on the curveball. You see, the curveball comes. If you get too anxious, like it's a fastball, you're going to either miss it or foul it off. I'm watching a game yesterday, and this guy waits on it. He waits on it, phew, into the atmosphere. That's patience. I'm not a patience person. When I first got married, my wife would laugh because I love me some leftovers. Mac and cheese, she hasn't developed this taste yet. It is so good cold. if you want to heat yours up, I want to eat mine now. So you wouldn't believe what I've eaten cold in my life. Why? I am one impatient fool. I have been known, like last year in November, I bought her this really cool Christmas present. We're from Morrisville, New York. About 5 miles away is a place called Nelson, and they have this old Welsh church out in the middle of nowhere. They have this really beautiful graveyard people love to be buried in. So I found a picture online of the Welsh church at night in the stars. So I gave it to her like November 5th. Then I had to figure out another Christmas present to get her. Why? Like I said, if somebody's up here preaching, it's not because they have it down. It's because they're work in progress. I like the old saying, people evangelizing is just one beggar telling the other beggar where to get food. I need Jesus to help me. When I read through the fruits of the Spirit, talking about patience. Years ago, I was dealing with somebody in the church, and I was praying for them. And I had this one pastor, so bad, he counseled me and say, I would pray, Lord, either move in them or move them on. Now, I didn't know that was legal, but I adopted that prayer. And the Lord gave me one word. Now, the word I wanted was either termination or assassination. But no, the God of grace can't do that. You know what word he gave me? Long suffering. Long suffering. God, I don't like these people. And I'm sorry, I'm a Christian, but you still don't like certain people. Let's get over the fact that that's true. God said, I want you to love them, and I want you to wait on that, because I will move. And he did. They ultimately left. In the privacy of my office, I danced. But God said to me, what's more important, how you feel or what I want you to do? Are you going to represent Beaumont or are you going to represent the living God? Patience highlights how much we trust God. I don't want to be King Saul, where Samuel said, hey, I'm coming back in 7 days. Well, the people start grumbling and complaining, and Saul gets nervous. So he offers a sacrifice, which wasn't for him to do. He sinned. I don't want to sin. You know, for years I've been praying about, Lord, I need an assistant, I need an associate. Yes, I am looking for my replacement. I'm going to be 66 in a few months. Guess what? I am not the future. But God says, wait. So I pray, God, I stand at the door and knock. Can you please help me? He goes, yeah, wait. Like I said a million times, if you pray for patience, God ain't going to give it to you. He's going to put you in a situation where you got to be patient. If you want to be brave, pray for it. God's going to put you in a situation where you got to be brave. He's not going to go hocus pocus, now you're brave. That's not how it works. Donald Campbell says, patience entertains no thoughts of retaliation, even when wrongfully treated. Our brother Joseph Enochi, Pastor Enochi, used to minister here, and I loved what he said. Sometime for the sake of the kingdom of God, the innocent apologize to the guilty. I had a guy stab me in the back when I was up north, go to a meeting when I'm pastoring here, worshiping, and I see him, and God goes, go pray for him. Oh, Lord, kill him. But that didn't work. So I went and prayed for him. I said, man, I'm sorry that there's a divide between us, man. And I just prayed for him. Because one of the things that I have learned in my life is I need to put to death the old man. And just because I'm a Christian doesn't mean it doesn't rise up. It means God gave me a personality that he wants to prune, that he wants to shape, to glorify him. So faith trusts God when our emotions and reasoning point us in a whole other direction. faith doesn't make sense. James 5:7, be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. We are new creations in Christ, and we're supposed to live that way. We're supposed to take our personalities, we're supposed to take how God made us, and we're supposed to exhibit peace. We're supposed to exhibit and show people what patience and faith and trust in. It doesn't mean that you're a wimp, but it means you give God everything in your life. That means if you're a college student, you pray, Lord, what do I do with my life? I remember when I graduated college, I shared this, so I'm gonna do this in 15 seconds. I did 500 resumes to Carolina. I got no responses. Kathy Stoner said, why don't you send resumes here? So I obeyed. I did 3, and APW hired me. You have got to be kidding me, God. I have to live in this forsaken place called Oswego. Been here a lot of years, 44 years, and I love it. Why? Because I gave my heart to the Lord. I went to Copenhagen. They get more snow than we do. 1 year, the house we lived in, they got 380 inches. I hated it. It's oppressive. People like it. Right, Jay? No, well, some people like it. They do like it. I had to pray. After a few years, one of my elders came and said, how's this for testimony? Hey, you don't complain as much about the weather. You know why? God gave me grace. I laid that at his feet. I told Pete Mayer I was moving to Copenhagen. He dropped the phone and laughed for 5 minutes. I wanted to shoot the man. Why did God do that to me when I wanted to go south? Because he knows better, and I had to trust him. I had to trust him in that situation. Showing kindness in an unkind environment. We live in an unkind world. We live in a politically turmoil world. One party is not above the other. I've talked about that recently. I'm going to leave that. Jesus wants me to exhibit him to everybody. Tomorrow we're getting together with some very liberal friends of ours. And guess what we're going to do? We're going to love on them. I'm not going to debate them. I'm not going to tell them where they're stupid and going to hell, which they are right now, but I'm going to love them. And I've been praying for days, Lord, open the door, because I've tried in the past, and they said, nope, we're good. Well, you're really not, which is why I want to talk to you, but they don't let me. So we got to say, Lord, I got to show me kindness, gentleness. I'm not talking about being a rollover wimp. You know, when I remember when I was a young Christian, I thought, you know, if somebody did you wrong, you got to really raise your voice and, you know, you got to get mad and show them who's the man. Then I read, a gentle answer turns away wrath. So the next time you get fired up with somebody, and just talk calmly to them. And if they get really fired up, do what I do, say, I am sorry for whatever I did that hurt you, because you're really fired up right now. I really don't want that to happen. And it's amazing how it de-escalates. You don't rise above their anger. Soft answer turns away wrath. The Bible tells us to value the word prayer and fellowship because we need a frequent connection to God. Why do I need you guys? Why do we do home group? I want to be encouraged by you so that the world doesn't make more sense to me. That's why we do basic, because if you're not tied into Christians, the lies they teach you on this campus, it makes sense to you. But they're deceived. We can't get upset with them. We can't get mad. You know, you don't get butter from a turnip. They're deceived. They need the living God. So I try to keep that connection going with them so that at some time I can share with them. If you ever read, I just got finished studying the book of Jeremiah. It tells of God's anger against the Israelites because of their unbelief. God can't bless your unbelief. If you're struggling sometimes, the first thing I do is, Lord, show me if it's anything I'm doing wrong. If you have a secret sin in your life, and you all know what I'm talking about, The Bible says if God tells you not to do something and you do it, it is sin. I don't care if it's eating Chick-fil-A sauce. I don't care what it is. If God tells you don't watch that, then don't watch that. Because once you open up that door, you've opened up Pandora's box, and the temptations are going to take hold of you. We have to be careful not to misrepresent God. I am so tired of reading online, this famous pastor had a sexual sin. This famous pastor had a sexual sin. This famous pastor had a sexual sin. Come on, God ain't playing with his church. The Bible says what is done in the darkness will be brought to the light. So my secret sin, your secret sin, God is going to bring it to the light. That's why I meet with people. That's why they can ask me any question they want that makes me uncomfortable, because I want to represent Jesus. Romans 2:4 says, don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see that his kindness is intended to turn you from sin? Let me reemphasize, we need God to live this way. But it's also time that we all manned up, or womaned up, whatever you want to say. That you love your friend enough that if you see them doing the wrong thing, you talk to them. As I've said multiple times, my mama said when we were pregnant with Carrie, when Mel was, I wasn't. You gotta love your kids enough to let them hate you sometimes. That is not, that ain't something that happens in our world. You feel like that? Well, you're entitled to feel that way. Not really. Anyways, as iron sharpens iron. We have to speak truth to one another. We need to be involved with one another, because when you're by yourself, you go watch a Chuck Norris Walker Texas Ranger episode. I have seen my man take out 10 people, but he doesn't do it all at once. Oh, look at Rambo. That one where he hid in the mud, I can't remember which one that was. He took out a whole smack of Russians, but he did it one at a time. That's all Satan is. Oh, no, you don't want to go to church today. There's too many donuts in that box, and there's baseball on. Well, oh, yeah, that makes sense to me. But, well, Anthony's here? Okay, so anyways, then he has me. But when I'm with my brothers and sisters and say, come on, let's go deeper together, that encourages me. It's never God to say, take a break from the church. And I'm not saying that because I'm a pastor. I'm saying that because that's how God created us. You know, our pride makes allowances for our shortcomings. I was talking to somebody this week, can't remember who it was, and we're saying, isn't it amazing how your sin, I won't point to anybody, I can point that out, but I'm ignorant to my sin. You might have stole a candy bar, I murdered somebody, but you're worse than me. That's judgment. But my pride, I can rationalize anything away. I have to allow the Lord to speak to me. You see, my faith in Jesus gives me power over the flesh. I can live a sinless life. Because I got the Holy Spirit. No, I'm not gonna till I die, because I got the old nature still battling. But God gives us the power to be victorious. Okay, let me read this to you. As well as putting our old selfish nature to death, we are positively to keep in step with the Spirit. We are able to walk in line with him. This is not a life we can live on autopilot. It demands our continuing attention and response. It is also a life in which we support and encourage one another. There is no place for pride, picking fights, or jealousies. Open your eyes, we're bringing it to a close. God has more for you. Everybody in this room today, he's saying, I'm standing at the door knocking. I want you to represent me. I want you to let go of your identity. I want you to let go of how you do things and allow God's word to guide you. Again, he's saying the same thing to me. I read this list in the beginning, and yes, it makes me uneasy. But I know that God has a way for us. I read the words, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Let's close our eyes. Lord, we need you. Lord, we need you. In summary, the secret sauce is the Holy Spirit. Same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives inside of us as Christians. Lord, help us to be in your word. Help us to pray. However that works for us, Lord. Some people write it down. Some people hit their knees. But help us to be a people that pray. Help us to worship you, Lord. And help us to have fellowship. But Lord, I would pray that we would have open fellowship in this way. That we wouldn't just hang out and fellowship with the people we are comfortable with the people that we like. But Lord, even as I close this meeting in a moment, that we would allow your Holy Spirit to show us who to talk to. The many testimonies I've gotten over the years when somebody that was a stranger came up to somebody else at the end of a meeting and encouraged them, and it was the right word at the right time. So Lord, let us, even in our conversations, glorify you. We need to reflect you, Jesus. We need to make that effort. We need to understand what Paul wrote. We are not our own. I admit, Lord, as I put these messages together and go through these words, the one like patience makes me uneasy because it's not a strength of mine. But I do know that by your Holy Spirit, you want it to be. So I have to give myself over to that lesson. Lord, I pray for your peace for this wonderful congregation. Lord, I pray that you would touch them throughout the week, Father. Let our lives reflect and glorify you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.